Unto you a child is born. I'm glad you're with us here. It's our Sunday message from the Gospel Truth. And I want to bring you some gospel truth about Jesus.
That's right. Yeah, about Jesus. Why not?
And if you have a Bible, or if your phone's turned on and you've got a Bible app, go to Luke chapter 2 and verse 11. Verse 11 in particular is our text. And it says, okay, are you ready? Luke 2, verse 11. Gospel of Luke 2, verse 11. All right. I'm not in a rush, so I'm just letting you catch up here. It says, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, good will towards men. I love that. Don't you love this time of the year? A lot of people are against Christmas. If you got the Wednesday word, you know I dealt with that last Wednesday. A lot of Christians are against Christmas. Okay, I know it was a pagan festival and all that got there, but I am totally for remembering the birth of Christ. And of course, if you know anything about our ministry, we don't wait until this time of the year to preach about the birth of Christ, the incarnation where God came to us. We don't wait for that. No. Glory to God in the highest. That's what the angels sang. Isn't that a wonderful thing to sing? Or to say, glory to God in the highest. Have you thought of that? There's a great Christmas truth. Glory to God in the highest. Did you know that we are called to glorify God? Did you know that? That's what he wants. What does God want from you? He wants glory. That's very self-centered. It would be if he wasn't God, but he is God, and he gets the glory. He gets the obedience. He gets the loyalty. He gets the love, because he's God. Yeah. Yeah, God wants glory. Let me ask you, does everything you do glorify God? Ooh, I'll ask that again. Hello? Does everything you do glorify God? Well, does it? Go on, tell me. Every thought, does it glorify God? Every deed you do, does it glorify God? Well, no, brother or preacher, but what about you? Hey, I didn't say everything I did glorified God. I didn't say that. No, because I'm guilty. Not everything I do glorifies God. Not everything I say glorifies God. And everything, not everything I think glorifies God. I'm guilty. Why not? Because I'm a sinner. And you know what? You're a sinner too. For it says in Romans 3, verse 23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. How many? All. Big word, that one. All have sinned. If everything you do does not glorify God, it's sin. Are you a sinner? Well, everybody sins, but I'm not like a big sinner. The first requirement for becoming a real Christian is to know that you're a real sinner, a real dyed-in-the-wool, absolute, useless sinner. Go on, I challenge you right now. I challenge you. Sit there for 1 minute and do not think anything else but glory to God. Okay, here, start now. I'm not going to keep going for a minute. I can almost hear you saying, hey,
Okay, get off it. That's to glorify God in every little deed. If we don't, we're sinners. We're sinners. Oh my goodness me. And so this time of the year is very, very precious to me, because it gives me a fresh opportunity to look at my lostness apart from Jesus, my inability apart from Jesus, my sinnerhood. Boy, look into that manger. Can you see in there? A cattle shed and a trough, wooden trough that the cattle eat out of, and they put Jesus there. Ooh. And I see and I look and I see, that's my God. That's my God in there. That's my God in the feeding trough. My God became human. My goodness. Why did he do that? He did it for me. He did it for all his people, so that he could live in my place, and so he could die in my place. Well, unto you is born, verse 11, our text. Unto you is born. Listen, he is the greatest Savior. He is a greater sinner. Listen to me. He's sorry, I didn't mean the greatest sinner. He is the greatest Savior. His grace and mercy is greater than all your sin. Hello? Did you hear me? Hello? It's greater. His mercy is greater than all your sin, than all my sin. Hallelujah. It's enough to make you jump the pews. Oh, yes. Oh, he took the form of a baby. He became human for us. Lived in our place, died in our place. And this incarnation, that's what we call the birth of Christ, the incarnation, is to my mind the most startling and awesome event which has taken place in human history. And look, consider, come here. Come here to me. The incarnation is, to my mind, why did I say this? To my mind, the most startling event in history. Look at it. Look at this incarnation, this birth of the child. Look at Bethlehem. Look at the manger. And we see the attributes of God magnified there. We see the wisdom of God is here. The eternal becomes human in order that he may be just and the justifier of them that believe in Jesus. Yeah, he becomes human in order to do that. Look at again in the manger. Do you know what you see? You see the power of God. The power of God. How do you do that? How do you see that in the manger? Well, where is power so great as when it is concealed? But when is power great? So great as it conceals itself. Jesus concealed his power. What a ridiculous story this is. A God, the eternal, the almighty God, becoming a baby. It doesn't compute. Oh, he concealed himself. Jesus continually concealed that he was God. Nobody saw him walking down the streets of Nazareth and saying, oh, see him? See, hey, come here, see him? That's God. Yeah, that's God. He's all dressed up like a man. That's God. No, he concealed himself. Concealed himself. What immense power it took for God to unrobe himself for a little while, okay, and become man. Look again and see not only the power of God, but you look at the love of God. The love of God. Yeah.
God undertook our salvation. He came to save, that's love. He came to deliver, that's love. He came to help, that's love. He came to heal, that's love. He came to save those that could not save themselves. And I look again at that manger and I see the faithfulness of God. Oh, beginning at Genesis 3:15, 3:16, the promises of God, of the coming, how he would come. It's all through the Old Testament. And those promises were kept. They were kept. They were kept because he's a faithful God. He is the faithful God. Oh, my goodness. The whole of God is glorified in this one Christ event. And we call it Christmas, or the Incarnation Day. Verse 11, unto us is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. You know why he's called Christ? That's because he's anointed. He's anointed. Anointed why? Anointed to save. He's got the anointing to save, and he's got the authority to save, because he's the Lord Jesus Christ. The full authority of God rests on him. He's got the authority and the anointing. So call him Jesus, Matthew 1:21. Call him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. And if he doesn't, he's not Jesus. Hello? If he doesn't save, he's not Jesus. You're sitting there, you're listening to me, and you're saying, oh, I'd love to be saved, but he probably wouldn't take me. If he doesn't save, he's not Jesus. Call him Jesus. That's what he was told. The parents were told, call him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Well, this is startling, isn't it? This is incredible. His very name is a sham if he doesn't save his people from their sins. Boy, it's a gracious but very startling fact that our Lord is connected to us, to his people, connected by her sins. That's rough, isn't it? It's a very gracious and startling event. It was our sin that brought him here. Not our goodness. No. This is an amazing condescension. That God, I wish I had the tongue of 1,000 angels to explain this, but the Almighty God came here in reference to our sins. If we had never sinned, he would not have come, for we would have not needed a Savior. And there would never have been the Lord Jesus Christ on earth, because he came for sinners. Hey, and listen to me, if you don't think you're a sinner, he didn't come for you. Oh, don't say that. Well, wait a minute. No, he came for sinners. Call his name Jesus, for he'll make people feel good about themselves? No! He'll save his people from their sins. Oh, hallelujah. Look, the first link between us and Jesus. The first link between me and Jesus is not my goodness, but my badness. It's not my merit, but my misery. It's not my standing, but my falling. It's not my riches, but my poverty. It's not my sufficiency, but my need. Huh. Are you not a candidate for the Lord Jesus? If you're not saved, do you not see that you're a candidate? He didn't come here to admire us or to have a better life now. He didn't come here to make us feel good about ourselves or to make us think nice things about God. Oh, God is so nice. Oh, yes, he's just a gentle old man, and he's so patient with us. No, he came here to save us from our sins the old hymn says, with pitying eyes the Prince of Grace beheld our helpless grief. He saw, and oh, amazing love, he ran to our relief. So let me talk to sinners here today. I mean, real sinners, everybody. I mean, not everybody, but if you're from a religious country, you'll say, oh, well, I've sinned. So is everybody. But I'm not like those people down the road. Oh, those people down the road. Do you want to see what they're at? I'm not bad like that. No, let me talk to you, to real sinners. Not you who say you're sinners because you live in this society. No, but if you feel yourself really guilty, 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 vile and helpless, we, spotless Lamb of God was he, full assurance, full salvation. Can it be? Hallelujah, what a savior. Yeah, if you know yourself to be a sinner, here's good news for you. Are you ready? Jesus has come to save sinners. Oh, take your place. Call out to him for mercy and say, Lord Jesus, you came to save sinners. And if you don't save sinners, you're not Jesus. Here I am. I'm a sinner. Save me, Lord. Have mercy on me, Lord. Have compassion on me. I thank you, Lord. Save me in Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, be Jesus to me. Save me. I need your salvation. So then you confess your sin. You confess it to Jesus. He's the high priest. Well, I'll go to my priest. Why? I'll go to my priest. My priest's nice man. Listen, you're going to a man to get you to forgive sins, to get him to forgive. How can he forgive your sins? You've sinned. All sin is against God. Listen to me. Could I shake you? You've offended God, but he said, I've come to save. Won't you trust him? Won't you put your confidence in him? Oh, yes. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. That means trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. And he will save you by grace and he will keep you saved by his power. 1 Timothy 1:15, this is a faithful saying. Are you listening? This is a faithful saying. You ready for it? Christ Jesus came into this world to save sinners. Hello. Hallelujah. It's enough to make you say amen. Go on, have a quiet. No, don't have a quiet amen. Say it. Hallelujah. Amen. Yeah, he came to this world to save sinners. He came to Bethlehem's manger, and afterwards he went to Calvary's cross with one purpose in mind, and that was to save sinners. Now listen to me. If he doesn't save, he was born in vain. I'll say that again. If he doesn't save, he was born in vain. Why? Because he came to save sinners. The object of his birth was to save sinners. Remember that when you're eating all your turkey and your ham and everything else and having a big feast. And remember my friend who is going to spend Christmas Day getting drunk. He was born to save sinners. Not so that we would go feasting, although we feast. He was born to save sinners. And if you were told, hey, I have good news, an angel has come from heaven to save us, would you not be kind of happy? But an angel can't save you. Another human being can save you. And God became man. God was incarnated. He became one of us. He clothed himself with humanity. And he lived a life and he died a death and he rose again. He was there, here to save sinners. God himself came. Hello? God himself came. What love is that? That's immense love. It's immense love. And so, good news that an angel was come. Oh, even better that God has come. God has come himself. He has come. The infinite came here in the person of Jesus, the Almighty, the highest of heaven. That's good news, folks. That's good news. The highest of heaven came, that he could say that he would save all who come to him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is just. He's Jesus. He's Christ. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ, that's Lord. That's a title of his deity. Yeah. I mean, I wouldn't be thrilled at all about you saying to me, well, Brother McHugh, a prophet has come. Some people call Jesus a prophet, only a prophet. Oh, yes, a prophet. That doesn't thrill me that a prophet had been born. I don't see what the angels would have got all excited about a prophet being born. Sure, look at all the Old Testament prophets. The angels didn't come out in their heavenly choir to welcome them. No. But the Almighty has stooped. The Almighty has come himself. Look, I wouldn't be thrilled if the angel said, hey, unto you is born this day in the city of David, a teacher. Look, I know Jesus' teaching was quite astonishing at times, quite astonishing and radical and revolutionary, but that's not why he came. He came to save. If the angels said, well, for unto you this day is born in the city of David, a royal ruler. Well, wait a minute, Bethlehem's had a royal ruler come from it. David was from Bethlehem, and he was a royal ruler. I wouldn't be thrilled to hear that David had come back again. He didn't do me any good when he was here the first time. I wasn't here, he was, but he didn't do me a lot of good. Ah, but let the scriptures say unto you, is born this day in the city of David, a savior. Hello, did you hear me? A savior, which is Christ, the royal ruler. Yes, he's Christ, the teacher. He's Christ, the prophet. He's all those things, but above all those things, he is the savior. So God himself has come here. He's emptied himself. He's married himself to our nature. He's come to us. We can now come to God because he has come to us. Hello. We can now come to God because he's come to us. Won't you come to him? Him, not the church, not religion, not organized. I hear every week, I hear war stories come out of churches. When will we learn how to be gracious one to another? I'm not saying come to church. Hello. Hey, I'm not against church. I wish we had a powerful church here in Spain where I live. We have so very few Christians. Yeah, I'm not against church. I'm all for it, but I'm all for grace, being within the walls of the church and treating one another with grace. However, that's a side issue. I can now come to God. You can now come to God because God has come to us. God hasn't come with a flaming sword. He hasn't come wearing a bulletproof jacket. No, he's in a sense, he's waving a white flag. And a white flag in the hands of a baby. How can you be scared of a baby? He's wonderful, isn't he? He's wonderful. He's lovely. Lord, help us to love you. Help us to hate sin in Jesus' lovely name. There's no flaming sword here. Don't be afraid to draw nigh to him, to draw near to him. He is gentle, Jesus, meek and mild. Yeah, but I remember at Sunday school, we learned about all the tirades, the cross words he spoke to people. Wait a minute, go back and read those. He spoke those cross, harsh, tough words to relig- religious people. Religious people. Not to believers. Not to people who believed on him and trusted on him. You know, Jesus knows our frame. He knows we're but dust, and he's for us, and he will strengthen us. He will save us. He is the Savior. Won't you trust in him? Run to him now. What have you got to be afraid of? Tell him your sin. Tell him all about it. No wonder the angel said, "Fear not. I bring you tidings of great joy. Fear not." Great message. Don't be afraid to draw near, to go near to Jesus. Don't imagine that you have to prepare yourself. Okay, what do I mean by that? Well, don't think, I want to come to Jesus, but I'm going to have to give up drinking before I come. I'm going to have to give up smoking before I come. I'm going to have to give up the horses before I come. Listen, you don't prepare yourself. You come. Come to the Lord Jesus. Let him take all that nonsense away from you. But come. Come just as you are to him. To him. To him. Come just as you are. You don't need the intercession of a priest. You've got a high priest. His name is Jesus. He's risen. He died. He was born. He lived. He died. He was buried. He rose again. He ascended into heaven. He sat on the throne of God, and he is interceding for his people. He is representing us in heaven. We are in him. We are blessed with all spiritual blessings in Christ Jesus in the heavenly places. Now, that's pretty good. What did he do to deserve that, Brother McKee? Did nothing. Did nothing. I came to him knowing I was a sinner, and I still come to him knowing I'm a sinner. So let not conscience make you linger, nor of fitness fondly dream. All the fitness Christ requires is that you feel your need of him. That's the gospel truth.